Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back again to Can We Talk? I'm your host, Raz Williams. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you this evening, guys. Joining us later is a renowned Christian family therapist, Lorraine Klein, who will be talking to us about preparing yourself for love God's way. She will also be answering any questions that you might have. Now, we had a very insightful first show last week where we covered how to position yourself to find love God's way. We discussed the importance of why this is necessary. We also identified many of the problems that can occur when you do not position yourself correctly. We also set a basic foundation, which was first knowing God as a premise to even begin looking for love. Now, much of the feedback we received last week was that people wanted to really know practical steps and how they could prepare themselves to find love. So this week, we're going to be more solution-driven and provide information in this area. Guys, listen. I know some of you are skeptical. I know some of you have been hurt. You're hurting. Some of you have been hurt from the past. I know some of you are frustrated. I know some of you are depressed. I know some of you are thinking love does not work. I'm going to do this my way. I just want to say for those of you who are thinking like this, no matter what's happened in the past, no matter where you are or where you think you are, God has a glorious plan for your love life. God did not design for you to be alone. Good men and women do exist. But we have to learn how to go about doing it the right way. Doing things the wrong way will never produce long-lasting, sustainable results. With that said, joining me tonight is my panel of co-hosts. Alicia's in the house. What's up, Alicia?
Hey, Raz.
What's going on?
How are
on?
You? Now, I'm not. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Alicia, what did you think about last week's show?
I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I hope people benefited from it. I thought it was definitely a hot topic, a lot of things that people have on their heart. It was an opportunity to really, you know, share what does the Word of God say about some of these real serious issues that maybe singles are dealing with, how to find love, and most importantly, how to do it God's way. So I thought it was an excellent show. I enjoyed it, so I look forward to tonight's discussion.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
I know you got it, man. How do you think about last week's show?
I think it was cool. It was cool. I got a lot from it. I think it was informative, you know, and I'm just looking forward to coming with a conclusion and some solutions and hopefully some testimonies in the weeks to come.
Right. Hey, now, Ronnie, you're actually a member of a music board, am I correct, of an internet radio show, a radio station?
Right. We got a Christian rap radio station called MTB, My True Belief, mtbmusic.com. You can stream it on your computers or you can get an app on your phones. We got the iPhone app and the Android app. So anywhere you get... It's a free app. So anywhere you get your apps in your app store, just look up MTB Music, and it's available. It's free. It's 24 hours for artists out there. If you got music you want to upload in a bio, you know, we're open to helping people and being a blessing. So, but yeah, that's it.
Man, That's awesome, man. So we can actually log online and go onto your website and actually listen to this, or?
Guaranteed. You could just, like, download the app if you'd like, or just go to www.mpbmusic.com, and you could be streaming live. And one of our aims is, if you're a member of the body of Christ, okay, and you agree with the scripture, you agree with the teaching that you get at your home church or wherever you talk about God and learn about God, the in-between time is where you can apply what MPB has to offer, because you might go to work listening to secular music, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with rap. It's just the philosophy and the spirit attached to the secular music is always going to be counter to what God is trying to, you know, give you as far as being the truth. And so we try to, you know, I guess supplement, if you will, or give an alternative to the secular music. You know, you don't have to just totally, you know, abandon a style of music. We want you to abandon the philosophy attached to, you know, the Antichrist society that we live in. And so here's a platform for Christian rappers to get their music out, and for people who've grown up with rap, like myself, to have some rap that's actually speaking the truth, because most of the popular rappers are just lying to you. Nobody's killing anything. Nobody's selling any drugs. Nobody's, you know what I mean? And if they do have the women, they're telling you that they pay for the women. So, you know, here you can listen to music that is telling you the truth and support the gospel.
That's an awesome thing. I think that's much needed in, amongst the youth today, and amongst even you know, adults alike. Man, I think that's an awesome thing. But guys, last but not least, actually, this guy was supposed to be on our show last week, but didn't make it for some reason. I don't know why. But I want to introduce to you a very great man in my estimation, Eric Douglas. Brother, are you here?
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Officially in the building. I'm good, sir. How you doing?
I'm great.
Guys, I just wanted you to know that I picked these guys as co-hosts carefully. You will not hear foolishness coming out of their mouths. These guys are knowledgeable in the areas of life, and more importantly, they have consistently displayed living a life that glorifies God. Guys, welcome to the show. It's great to have all of you here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, brother. Glad to be here.
Thank you, sir. Now, guys, if you have a question or comment, we would love to hear it. Please call us at 347-946-7310. That number again is 347-946-7310. So, guys, let's go ahead and get into today's show. We kind of like discussed last week the importance of positioning yourself. We kind of identified certain areas, but this week we really want to focus more about providing people with practical solutions that they can actually implement in their lives. And one of the talking points that I kind of like was number one to me was knowing the importance of what true love is. I think that in today's society, people are truly not looking for love, especially when it comes to how God defined it in the Bible. People are looking for a certain body type. They're looking for a certain type of sex partner. They're looking for a certain kind of look. They're looking for an asset. They're looking for some sort of validation. So, guys, let me start with you, Alicia. What do you think about the importance of knowing what true love is as it pertains to preparing yourself for love?
Well, I think it's definitely very key and important, because if you go into a relationship with the wrong perspective of what love is, you're going to ultimately be disappointed in the end, because you're going to expect it to be something that it wasn't designed to be. And when you really, you have to look at the designer, and that's God. And he very clearly outlines for us what love is and what it looks like. And some people may have that mistaken idea that love is lust. In reality, that's really not what love is. And love is what God shows us through his word, and that's those attributes of love suffers long, and love is kind, and it doesn't parade itself. And so when you think about those things as it relates to preparing for a relationship, you have to begin to examine yourself and say, well, have I reached that place where I'm willing to walk patiently alongside another individual? Am I willing to be kind? And so I think those are some of the areas that if we really want to understand what true love is, we have to really start to work on so that we can be ready for that next step, which would involve being in a relationship or married.
That's good. Eric, what do you think about that?
I think we've misunderstood what true love is, and coming from a biblical standpoint, you know, I always refer to 1 Corinthians 13 when we talk about love. It's not about a feeling or emotion. It's loving even when it hurts, and I think Christ showed the greatest form of love when he came and died on the cross. So and until we truly get that perspective in our mind, we always have a skewed view of it, and it will lead to just a lustful love, a physical type of love. And we just really need to renew our minds and get our minds together when it comes to preparing ourselves for love, that at the end of the day, there's compromise. It's not all about you, and it's really taking other person in consideration and not being selfish.
That's good, man. Brother Lonnie.
Oh, yes. I hope people realize that when you're dealing with the truth, that there's really, it is a narrow path. Like you heard from Eric and Alicia, and Eric mentioned the scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I guess you can take it all the way to 14. Read the whole thing. It gives you a full-on detailed description of what love really is. And I would just encourage anybody to go check that out. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Read the whole thing. And you will be able to get a true description of love, what love is and what love isn't. And that's from the scriptural and spiritual standpoint. Naturally, just according to society, we've been taught that lust is love. And so we need to really make a difference and distinguish between lust and love. You know, people make these decisions when they wear clothes, when they pick cars. You know, go ahead and make a distinction between what is right and what is wrong. Lust is not love. You know, and if all of this is pleasing the flesh, and, you know, your flesh could be fooled, you could be, you know, led astray, and you will always be disappointed because true love will never be fulfilled. The lust might get accomplished, but pleasing your flesh might get accomplished, but the true spiritual love that God intended for man and woman to have will never be fulfilled. So I encourage everybody to check out 1 Corinthians 13, read the whole chapter, and you'll get a true description of what love is and what love isn't. And, that's pretty much my take on it. To know true love is to know it from the Bible.
Well, very well put, Ryan. You know, we have a call coming in from the 510 area code. I'm going to take this call real quick. Caller from the 510, do you have a question or comment? Hello, 510. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, looks like we lost him. Okay.
Oh, man. Call back.
Call back. If you hear us, call back. We would love to hear from you. Eric, and you guys said something very very profound to me, was that knowing the difference between lust and love, the world always pumps out lust in this world, where we actually mistake that for being love. Now, can we kind of like go into what are the differences between love and lust? Who's brave enough to answer that question?
Yeah. I'm sure we all got something to say. I could say the difference between lust and love starts with making whether you go forward dependent on their how much clothes that they don't have on. If it's a sex-driven, if I'm only approaching a girl because I'm looking at her breasts and her shape, then I'm probably dealing with lust. And if everything she's talking about just goes over my head because all I'm thinking about is having sex, then I'm probably dealing with lust. And it's not necessarily a person's goal or aim. But if that's all you're taught, that's all you're going to know how to go for. And so you can tell if it's lust, if it's if it's if the percentage base is more on the physical part than on the longevity part, because you might find, like, for a girl might find, if she was operating in lust or if the guy was operating in lust, what if, you know, that person you're with just got paralyzed all of a sudden? I hope it doesn't get to that, but that would be a factor to let you know, when I approach this person, was I walking in love or lust? Am I willing to walk it out with them now that they can't be that sex object? So that's one way to check if it's love or lust, if it's purely sex-driven and purely based on the physical.
Okay. Looks like, guys, we have that caller back from the 510 area code. Please don't hang up. Be brave enough to answer the question. Hello from the 510 area code. Do you have a question or comment? Hello, caller from the 510 area code. Okay, we have a psycho in our hands, guys. Anyway. Anyway, so that's good. Hey, guys, look, I mean, this is my view on lust and love. I think that lust takes, but love gives. I think it's so important, especially for women. I think it's so important to know the difference between a love and lust and love, because men who are, for example, let's just say that I win $1 million, and all of a sudden I get guys, I mean, people calling me up and asking me, Raz, can we hang out? Can we go out to eat? Are they really my friends? I think not. Now let's transport that analogy to a woman's body. And all of a sudden she has guys asking her, can we hang out? Can I see you tonight? Do they really love her? Or are they lusting her? That's my comment.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way of putting it. And just a way of people being able to really start identifying, because if they look at what you see on TV and in magazines, they're going to have a real skewed perception of what love is. They're going to think it's that emotional feeling you get, and it's all about, ooh, being next to a particular person. So I think the analogy that you just gave was really good, that lust takes and love gives. And so it's, lust is really self-centered. It's about me and fulfilling that need that I have. So I definitely agree with what you just mentioned.
Yeah, most definitely. What you said, Alicia, is so true. Lust is so selfish at the highest level. I was just, you know, thinking about it. I was like, wow. It's when we're, you know, when before I was saved, and I had one mission, one motive. I wasn't trying to truly get to know you for who you were. I was trying to get to know you so I could manipulate you. So lust is hurtful, self-seeking, and it's just to gratify yourself. You don't really care about the person in that moment at all.
Well, Eric, you're taking me back to my unsaved days, bro.
Man, that's how we know where it came from. I mean, it's no way to be able to talk about it if I never lived through it, and that's why I know there is a difference.
Exactly. That's a good point. I want to go into point number two, solution number two. Do you have unrealistic marital expectations? I find that a lot. If you look at those shows like on TV, like Bridezilla and all those kind of shows, and you're talking to a man also who's been engaged twice. Yeah, I have. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I think a lot of people, man, and I'm not saying it's women. I'm going to be brave enough to say mostly women, I think, but please don't shoot me. But
okay.
I would say a lot of women have a lot of unrealistic marital expectations, and some guys too. I think some guys that I've talked to think that they marriage is about smashing up every day, all day. You know what I'm saying? Whereas some women think that, you know, the sex is going to be there and we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to be rich. We're going to drive this kind of car. Can we talk about that?
I'd like to say so about the expectation. I mean, I think it's the same solution. If you get your definitions and your point of view from the wrong place, you're going to have those wrong expectations. And so, you know, if you got a biblical standpoint is helpful, you know. And if you got the standpoint of society, most likely you're going to be let down because your expectations are going to be all wrong. Look at the expectation of a man for a woman according to the Bible. The word says I'm supposed to be willing to die for my wife. So when you're walking up to a girl to talk to her, to get at her or meet her, you know, do you have I'm willing to die for her in your heart as you're approaching her? Because that's what's expected of you, you know. And if you don't even know the expectations that are required of you as a man or required of you as a woman, you know, you might be off. But I think the source of your information is highly important and has a definite effect on your standards and expectations.
Yeah. I agree with what you just mentioned, Ronnie, and going back to what you started the question out with, Raz, do people have an unrealistic expectation? I would say by and large they do, because they think of marriage as what Ronnie was saying, what we see on TV or what's glamorized by that. But when you really think about who created the institution of marriage, it was God. And so God is a God of purpose, and everything he does for a purpose. And so when God connected Eve to Adam, he did it for a reason, and it was so that they could be fruitful and multiply and increase the kingdom of God here on the earth. So when you walk into a marriage and you have an unrealistic expectation that, oh, we're going to live in a white stick house and this picket fence, and not to say you won't have those things at some point, but you have to realize if God designed it, let me now check with him, what is your vision for this relationship? And that vision should be with the purpose to serve God, to be able to do more for him as a couple than what you could do individually. And so if you come in with that proper perspective, then you're not going to end up getting let down in the end if it doesn't work out the way you thought, because you saw the wrong thing on TV or had the wrong idea about what our society tells us.
Wow. Yeah, that's it seems like I'm always talking about this topic. It's, people have this thing with marriage, like, that's why I'm not married yet, because I'm really taking my time to say, hey, you know what, let me get myself together, because marriage is not this thing you see on TV where once you walk down the aisle and you say I do and you get that kiss, everything is magical and life is good. There are going to be problems that come up that we're going to have to be able to talk through, and that's the thing I think we don't let people know when it comes to marriage, that you have to die to yourself. You have to be able to communicate and talk out things, because she's not going to always agree with you. You're not going to always agree with her. But if we come to a mutual agreement that, hey, I may not agree with you right now in this moment, but, you know, let me pray on it, think about it, and I'll come back to it. But most of us don't learn these things, and we get married and then have all these problems, like, well, and then we get in divorce talking about unreconcilable differences and all these crazy things, when all it would take is for us to really sit down and talk about it. And sometimes, I mean, I had to learn how to apologize when I haven't even done anything wrong.
Yeah.
That was the hardest lesson God had to teach me. I didn't even do anything, but I still had to apologize. And I think when we don't come into marriage understanding that it's going to be times you're going to have to do things you don't want to do, you're going to be in trouble.
Wow. And that's a good point, Eric, because I think in this society, in this culture, in America that we live in, and particularly I would say California, you know, there's a lot of glamour and glitz, you know, associated or pinned on marriage, and people have no clue, no idea exactly what marriage really entails. And, you know, that's what you said right there is so, so true.
Yeah, I think if we don't prepare ourselves, like, I'm always talking to people that I have married couples that I go to and I talk to. They've been married for like 30 years, 40 years, and I just talk to them. I talk to both of them, and just to get a perspective on what do I have to look forward to. And these are people that love God at a very high level, but most of the things I heard coming out of their mouths were shocking at the same time. But I was like, wow, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But those are the things we need to know. So it's like exactly. You have to prepare yourself for that.
And Eric said something very critical and key. If any of you guys know married couples that have been married for 10 years or more, I would strongly advise that you spend time with these people. Get to ask them questions and ask them the ups and downs of marriage, how they handle certain conflicts and situations, so you have a realistic perspective going in and you kind of know exactly what to expect. What do you think about my comment?
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah. I think we're all going to kind of say something, but I would say I agree with that comment. I believe one of the best teachers would be somebody who's already walked it out. Go find someone who you see who has been married for a while that you can learn something from. It just goes to those same things that we know about maybe in our world, everyday world experience. If you're looking to be a business owner, successful business owner, go get mentored by someone who has already owned a business successfully. And so I think that's definitely a great point when you're talking about getting prepared for a marriage. Go get a realistic point of view from somebody who's already walked that road for a while.
I agree. And since you brought that up, if we got married couples listening, I would suggest that they reach out to either young couples or, people that are engaged, because how are they going to know unless, they're shown and told? A lot of people aren't raised with those examples. And so it is up to those out there, whether it be in your neighborhood or whether it be in the churches or wherever you can. If you notice that there's a young couple coming up, it's sort of your job to, ask them if they're ready and ask them if they just want to talk or need some counseling, because you do have experience over them. Because I think that's how it's supposed to be done.
Okay. Guys, we have a caller coming in from the 626 area code.
Right.
Caller from the 626 area code, are you there? Hold on 1 second. We seem to have some hello call from the 626 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's
can
your
you
name
me?
And where you calling from? Sure, we can hear you. What's your name and where you calling from?
Pamela Stewart. I'm calling from Altadena, California.
Hey, Pamela, what's your question or comment?
I guess my question is with the marriage. Is it possible that, I know we're putting ourselves in position to be married, and is it possible that when you do meet your mate, is it possible that, most people say you'll know right away, or do you feel that it's something, when you meet this person, you may have to get to know them to find out if that is the mate? I mean, I hear people say that, okay, when you meet this person, you'll know, somehow you will know. And I just want to ask, for those that might have experience with this, how did they know? Was it something they felt in their spirit? Did they get some kind of unction in their spirit, or was it the person that they were attracted to, or was it something about the person that, got revealed to them that was their mate? I mean,
well, no.
I just wanted to get some feedback on that. How will you know? By the way, is it through just the mutual connection of being on one accord and loving the Lord, or what are some of the things that people have experienced to where they knew?
Well, what I can say is, first I'll tell you my own experience, and then I'll tell you something scriptural. And so first, I believe that it's not like magic, because true love has nothing to do with feelings and emotions. True love is something that's established as you walk with a person, as you care for them, and you notice that they care for you. And so if you meet somebody, you got to test them out. That doesn't necessarily mean sex, but if you meet someone, you get along, and you're put in intimate situations. Intimate, again, is not just sex. Serious things that you don't share with other people, serious trials that you go through, that this person is there. They're there with you, and now you're establishing a relationship, a real one, because they're seeing you or you're seeing them through their tough times as well as the good times. And so now you're establishing a relationship, and, you know, if they respect your sexual position, like you might want to wait till marriage and things of that nature, then if they stick around without the pleasing of the flesh, that's even makes them even more of a candidate. And so you consider these things. You don't use it against the other person or anything like that, but you do have to walk with the person. You do have to go through stuff. You got to see them in the different phases of life before you can be like, oh, yeah, you know, I think we can come together. And scripturally, like if you look in, you know, the old days, even when a couple was to be married, there was a year that they spent together alone without sex, that they spent together actually working with each other to see if this is even going to work. You know, sex is always going to work. You know, I'm just saying that's one of the least things on the list. The things that really make the relationship is, can we hang when a family member dies? Are you going to be there for me? Can we hang if, you know, something goes wrong financially? Are you going to be there if, you know, there's this thing that I didn't get over as a youth, and, you know, I'm bringing it to you. Can you help me through that? That's how you find out if I can even really tolerate or marry this person, or if this person can, you know, do the same for me. So it does require some level of walking it out. But unfortunately, we believe that testing somebody out starts with sex. And that's not true. Testing somebody out starts with, I just got kicked out. Can you help me out? Or guess what? I found out I'm sick. Are you gonna walk it out with me then? You know, the test needs to come up a couple levels for you to really find that person, because the physical part fades away. The lust part fades away. The true bond comes when you can look at the person and say, this person has my back no matter what, and I have their back no matter what. But that only comes through walking it out. Walking it out. Like I said, even in the old times, the custom was, you know, the parents traded the dowry for the husband and the wife, and then the couple would spend at least a year together on their own without sex, seeing if she could treat him as a wife should treat him, and seeing if he can treat her as a husband should treat her. So it does require some walking out. I don't think it's just, you know, you look at them and, ooh, and then, you know, it's on. No, it comes, you test them with the fire. You try them in real life situations, you know. That's from my experience, yeah. And that's what the scriptures are.
Man, guys, Ronnie gets some of the real advice. So Pam, what did you think about what he just said?
Oh, I'm total agreement. That's definitely right on time with what I needed to hear. I mean, I feel like I'm on the right track, you know, in terms of, you know, putting myself in position.
Okay. All right, Eric,
can I add something in there, too?
Sure.
Hello? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. You said okay?
Yep, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to add, you're asking how do you know, and I've heard, you know, from just different people who have been married as well, that some may have known, you know, once they met the person quicker, or sometimes it was down the line, but just speaking generally as well, just knowing if you are seeking or desiring for God to bring you a mate, I would just say one thing is definitely trust the Lord is going to lead you, because he tells us in his word that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by him. So I would just encourage you that as long as you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he's going to begin to reveal things about a person that comes across your pathway so that you do know, God, does this line up with what you have? And another just kind of like general litmus test is, does this person draw me closer to God? Because the things that God has for you, they're going to bring you into a closer walk with him. Something that's not sent by God or sent by the enemy to throw us off target, you're going to see where it's pulling you away from the things of God. So I would just also encourage you just to let the peace of God rule in your heart. So as you're moving forward, if you do meet someone, do you have the peace of God within you? Because that's another way that God's going to begin to confirm for you that, yes, this is the direction I'm leading you in, or no, this is not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, sis.
Eric, do you have a comment for Pam?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both, you know, Ronnie and Alicia. It's not this magical connection when you first meet. I think we were talking about this, Raz. It's a easy formula, and I think God has given us wisdom. And if we learn to use the wisdom he's given us, which, I mean, can take us such a long way. And most of the time we think things that are prayer issues, they are really not prayer issues. It's wisdom that he's given us. Like I was talking about, there are four things to look for, and this is for women, for men. Women, if you meet a man, if he's in the, you think about when God created Adam, he was in the presence of God. The second thing he told him to do was work, which was to work the garden. The third thing he told him to do was to cultivate it and then protect it. Now, you apply that to a man. If you meet a man, if he's in the presence of God, he's working, look at the relationships he has with people around him. Is he cultivating the people around him, making them better, and is he a protector? It's easy. It's not really this spiritual thing we think, which is a prayer issue. Is just really using the wisdom and what we've learned and what God has given us to really just look at a person for who they are. Like Ronnie said, you have to be with them, spend time with them to see them do these things. I think sometimes I have many of friends, oh, well, this is my wife. And then they end up getting married. Talking about God told them this was their wife. And then they get married. Then they're divorced. Then I'm like, well, wait a minute. If God told you that was your wife, why are you getting a divorce? See, that's a tough one to touch on because they said God said this was my wife. So I think sometimes we do things thinking there's a feeling behind it or an emotion when being a Christian really has nothing to do with a feeling or emotion. And I think most of us, you know, don't understand that. Being a Christian, it's not easy. It's hard. It's a lot of work behind this. So I think if I'm putting a lot of work into my walk with Christ and, you know, spending the time, you know, reading my word, prayer, I can't do any less when it comes to picking a wife or women picking a mate. You have to spend that time and see them go through seasons in life. You know, you meet this guy and, you know, you don't know how does he act when he gets mad. You know, if he gets mad, you know, if a trial comes up where he loses his job. I mean, you got to look at all these things. How is he going to react to this? You know, so I think definitely, like Ronnie said, you have to walk this thing out and be around them and spend time with them to see what their character is when it comes to, you know, when they're definitely if they're saying they're a Christian.
Wow, that's some good comments, Eric. And I kind of want to co-sign what Alicia had said about I think that God has a plan for our love lives, and I think Satan has a plan for your love life too. However, Satan's plan is to pull you further away from right fellowship with God by making sure that he sends you someone that you want to have, but he wants you to have. So he will tempt you with a man that's good-looking or a woman that's good-looking, and they may have all the right sort of, characteristics that you look for, but they're internally, spiritually programmed with Satan's agenda for your life. So it's very important to really truly discern who is for you. And Alicia mentioned that, walk with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our comforter. He leads us into all truth. And if you do not get sex involved and get all convoluted, you will know for sure, because I believe that patience is the weapon that causes deception to reveal its true colors over a period of time. So if you don't get involved sexually, you can think clearly and you can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What do you think about my comment?
I agree, because once you have sex, you offer to a different dimension, and then no matter what they do, it's all right because we have sex. And no matter what they do, you know what I mean, it'll be better after we have sex. And no matter what we get into, guess what? It'll clear up when we have sex. And now it's just a physically driven relationship that, you know, you could either, it's just not going to show you the person's, you won't be able to see because you're going to be focusing on the physical pleasure. And it's not because what you're giving to them, it's because what you're getting from them. So you're actually using them without realizing that you're using them for their sex. and now we're off track. We'll never figure out if we like each other. We'll never figure out, you know, how long we're going to be together. We'll never figure out, you know, what God really wants us to be about, because we've made up our own, we've made up our own structure, you know. We put the sex in the forefront. So that's why I think that's a reason why, you know, even in the old times, they put that off. Because, I mean, if anyone knows that, what seals the deal is the woman being a virgin after the marriage. That's what made her tight. That's what made her worthy. Because once the issue was like this, here, you court the woman for a year, you've already paid the dowry, now it's wedding time, you go into your little hut. So imagine you going into your apartment with your new wife, her family's on the front yard, your family's on the front yard, and they're waiting for you to come out with the rag that shows that this was her first time. Because this gives her honor. This gives her family honor in the fact that they gave away a true virgin. This gives your family honor in the fact that the man that just married, you know, let's say you got married, your sister can know for sure that this girl that you're with was yours first. You understand? And so it was an honorable thing to have your wedding night be your first night. You know what I mean? They went through all the courting, they went through all the meeting, they went through all the things, and then they established that she was actually a virgin. And this brought honor to the situation because, you know, if for the guys that got married, no one in your family can ever talk down on her because they seen that she was, you know, a virgin at her wedding day, and that brings you honor. So now, you know, it's out of whack, but those principles still should be in place because it gives you a better perspective on your mate, and you put truer issues in the front.
That's a very good point there, Ryan. I believe we have a caller from the 310 area code. Caller, you there? Hello, caller from the 310 area code. Okay, I guess not. And I think we may have lost Alicia. Alicia, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, okay. We lost you there for a minute. Okay, awesome. That's good. Now, guys, I want to ask another question. And actually, Alicia brought this to my attention today, and we were kind of talking about this early on today. And point number three in positioning yourself as a practical solution is get your financial house in order. I'm going to say this again. Get your financial house in order. And I think that for men, Eric and Ronnie, you may agree with us, as God called us to be the providers and to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And if we abandon our family, then we're worse than infidels. I think this is so important for as men I don't think God will bless us with wives to bring chaos, poverty, and lack into their lives. That pisses God off. That's dishonorable. And so I think that it's so important for us as men to truly get our learn the principles of good financial stewardship, so that we can provide a safe, comfortable, and environment for our families, for the women that God will bring us as our wives and our children. Again, it doesn't mean that I don't think that we may go through tough times. However, we first have to, you know, God is our source. We know that. But at the same time, there's some practical, natural things that we must do in our lives to make sure that we make God feel comfortable that he can entrust us with his daughter. What do you think about my comment, Brother Eric?
Yes, sir. I think we always need to start with our best foot forward, you know. I know growing up I wasn't really taught, you know, a lot about finances, so, you know, I had to, you know, go through some rough patches there, you know, really understanding, knowing how to save and, you know, and just how to budget your money and different things like that. And to prepare yourself, like if we're preparing ourselves for marriage, you got to think, okay, if I'm going to get married, I'm going to have kids. But, you know, I said I'm going to get married, but never really thought, like, okay, I'm going to have kids. Am I preparing for them even before they get here? You know, and I end up going through
you know, a financial class, you know, through my church, man, and my eyes were just opened on so many things, and I was just like, wow, I'm so behind the ball, but, you know, God is good, so I started from where I was. So, you know, that was back in, like, 2003, and it was one thing, you know, one of the mentors said. He was like, you're going to have kids. Are you preparing for their education now before they get here? And I was like, no, I wasn't even really thinking about it like that. So back then when I finished the class, man, I started a savings called the Legacy Fund, and, you know, I put money in there, you know, every pay period since then for my kids' education. And I don't even have kids yet, not even married yet, but I'm thinking about them before they get here. And I think as men, we need to do that. If we're going to lead our households, we need to prepare for that wife when she comes in so she can be like, wow, you were really thinking about not only me but our kids and everything. This is something I can get behind and follow and believe in.
Well, I like that. That's a good comment. Brother Ronnie?
I agree. And there's something Eric brought up that, I mean, I don't know why I keep going back to the old days, but no, it's true. In our society of in America, we're this is not what's put in our plate as youth. You know what I'm saying? Okay, young man, you're going to be a husband. You're going to be a father. Prepare for that now. You see, we don't have no rites of passage, so most young guys don't grow up until they're in their 30s. We don't have no rites of passage, and we don't have no proper guidance in really the role of a guy. And so that's why we got a lot of late bloomers, you know, me included, you know. And so the financial part, the way it was done back in the day, you know, like a young man, when you're 13, I guess the Jews do a bar mitzvah. You do your bar mitzvah, this signifies you're no longer a little boy. Get ready to establish your own household at the age of 13 so that you'll have the things to give that dowry for your wife. You got to, yeah. So by the time you're 13, you're already thinking, I need 6 cows, 7 skins of wine, and, you know, whatever they gave for the dowry back in the day. But this is on your mind as a youth. And so I'm going to translate that thinking then to now. We need to start early and telling young men that you're going to be a father, telling young men that you should, like you got your fund ready and up and going, like Eric is saying, get your mind state ready for what God created you for. And so us as people that know now, we need to encourage those that don't know to look into the role that God made you and actually prepare for it now. Don't wait until you have the kids and you have the wife to figure out, oh, I got to take care of them. And so, no, if you're in a position, because some people, like, there's some couples that already have kids. I wouldn't wait to get married. You know what I mean? The deal is already sealed when you have that seat on the earth. At least let them see a complete household while you guys making it. But if you are in a position to look into the future and say, I'm going to start now, and, you know, I'm going to pay for my own wedding, and I'm going to pay for my own honeymoon, and, you know, we're going to buy our first home the next day of our wedding, if you got yourself set that way, yeah, you'll make a stronger mate. I mean, you'll be able to be there financially, you know, and that's really your role.
Now, you made a good point there, Ronnie. I want to ask this question to Alicia because she is a young lady. And Eric, guys, you probably heard this before. There's women that I've talked to in the past and said, well, you got to make a certain amount of money before I can even talk to you, or before you can even step to me. You have to have a certain, you have to be about a certain type of status, drive a certain kind of car, have a house, and all these things. Now, my thing is that as a Christian man, those things are a good. I want those things, but I don't have those things right now. Those things take time. God is still working on me. There's a process that I have to go through. Like, I have my own business. I wasn't always successful. I had to hustle. I had to get up early. I had to do the things that ordinary people would not do. I know I would get there, but it would take time. So, Alicia, what would you say to those women that would say to men who would shut men down, because they don't have the appearance or the accoutrements of, or should I say, the symbols of success, but they have the substance.
Well, if a woman is doing that, I would say she could very well be missing out on a good man, because I do believe that, you know, there are men, you know, who are, as you just mentioned, like yourself, still a work in progress. There are things that you're learning and growing, and you may not have it all now, but you have to be able to, as a woman, recognize the godly potential in a man. Even, you know, when you're thinking about getting married, you realize that you can begin to see the vision that God's given that person. And that doesn't necessarily mean hook up with some man who's a deadbeat and not going anywhere, but do be able to differentiate between a man who is in that process of moving toward his vision and then the man who is just not doing anything. And so I would say for a woman who would immediately disqualify a guy just because he doesn't come driving, you know, the 5 Series Benz and owning the home and the burbs and all of those things, well, then you could miss out on that very same man who will one day be doing those things because you didn't recognize the potential on the front end. So I think that once again just goes to the heart of just seeking God and not be immediately drawn to what you see or even turned away by what you may naturally see if he's not driving that car that you envision your husband would drive. I think about, you know, the example of just in the natural sense of, you know, the story that many people may have heard about First Lady Michelle Obama when she met President Obama, you know, and the type of car he was driving. So, you know, had a hole in the floor and all of those sort of things. Well, if she would have not looked beyond that, she would have missed a man who was going somewhere because she couldn't see the potential in the very first stages. So I would just say you have to be able to just, you know, a woman who's seeking the heart of God and desires a man who has the heart of God is going to be able to recognize a man with a vision.
Wow, that's some real talk right there. Eric, would you have a comment about that?
I agree. I mean, you have to look at what you have and just really, you know, pray about it and see God about it, if that's an issue for you. But like I said, when I gave the 4 stages, as long as he's working, he's okay. He doesn't have to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You know, if he's a blue-collar hard worker and, you know, he makes a good living, you can start there. But God will place visions in him and take him further on. But like I said, as long as he's working, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, your question was, what's up with the girl that, you know, wants a guy with a certain amount of money and certain amount of, you know, whatever status. And I'm not saying be broke or none of that. I'm saying keep your lights on and keep your fridge full and keep your gas tank full and, you know, be able to go where you want, you know. But one thing is for sure, if anyone, male or female, is just set on riches, see, the Bible called, there's a thing called the deception of riches, because they might be here today and gone tomorrow. You understand? At any time, our dollar could drop to where you got to buy a Big Mac with $1,000 bill. So there's an element of deception in riches, you know. And then the Bible also says riches aren't going to save you in the day of wrath. You understand? And there's plenty of scripture telling you just live your life out. Like Eric said, if you got a guy who gets up, you understand, and he goes and he brings his money in, and he's taking care of his household. You know, you should show him the same respect you would show somebody with money, you know, because those are the qualities that God wants to see, somebody who's going to get up and take care of his home. And so, you know, like I said, I'm not saying be broke and have less and eat top ramen all the time. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that the focus should be more on the inside, because those things that you have, they can be gone by tomorrow. They could depreciate fast. And so don't let riches be the determining factor. You know, let the heart of the guy be the determining factor.
Yeah,
and
most definitely.
One more thing, as far as before I was saved, I've seen a lot of so-called high-maintenance girls that wouldn't, you know, this and that, but even a lot of that's not true. Because I wasn't rich back in the day. And I've seen a lot of those no's turn to yeses, so even that's not 100% true.
Wow, that's real. You know, guys, we're going to, in a second, real quick, we're going to talk to our guest speaker, Lorraine Klein. But before we go to her, I just want to, we have a caller from the 909 area code. And caller from the 909 area code, do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, this is Tamara. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Tamara, how you doing?
Just a quick question. I don't know if you touched on this in the beginning, so I didn't catch the beginning, but just wanted to know, how do you learn, or what does the Bible say, how do you learn how to trust someone again after you've gone through a divorce, when what ended your marriage was that distrust by your partner during your marriage?
Well, here, let's just say what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says, if you can't forgive, God can't forgive. The Bible says that, you know, there's scripture that if you were divorced, you know, it'd be better off for you to go back to who you were with than go seeking for someone new. If it's a trust issue that you need to work out, you need to get to the point where you establish some kind of basis. Like, we're going to go from here on. Because if you keep going back, you'll never forget. If you keep going back, you'll never forget. If you're still paranoid about whatever, you'll never get over it. And the enemy will have a lock on you. And so if you see the person that you were with and you see that there's maybe a future, I'm not saying just go blind. Set yourself a few little checkpoints, and if this person can pass those checkpoints, start to abandon that distrust, because pretty soon you could distrust to the point where you're making up your own thing. And this person is really turned around, but you're so bent on, you know, what you've convinced yourself that you should be afraid of. So if you need to see something to go forward, set yourself maybe three checkpoints. If he this, or we talked about that, set yourself some reasonable, I mean, and this is going to be dealing with blatant and honest stuff that you're going to be willing to ask him to put on the table, and you're willing to do the same, so that you can get past all that distrust, because if you don't do something like that, you'll never get over it, and you'll never go forward. And then, you know, one little argument that you may have, because every couple's going to have some kind of disagreement, you might feel the urge to throw something in his face that you should never bring up again. You know what I mean? And then it's just, you could be picking a scab that is on its way to be healed. But I would start with the scripture that says, if you can't forgive, God can't forgive you. You know, but if you do need to see something, you know, I need, you know, some kind of prerequisite before we go forward, set up at least three reasonable, you understand? Reasonable mm-hmm. checkpoints that you want to see from the person, and you're willing to give as much as you're willing to receive from them, you know. But it has to be honesty first, and you do have to get over that before you go forward. I've had experience to where I was on the verge of divorce, but we had to bring the real things out in the front to really deal with them. You know, things that you told her that, hey, I had to tell her for us to move on, because it would either heat me up or it might pop out, you know, later on down the line. So we might as well put it all on the table here. We crossed that. We got that checkpoint. Everything's agreed. Now we can move forward, because if I don't get over it, or if she don't get over it, we'll never be able to go forward. So I would just do a couple of little checkpoints, and remember that God says, if you can't forgive, he can't forgive, you know. So I hope you have a scriptural relationship. I hope the person doesn't mind going into the Bible, because maybe both of you guys could learn something about relationships if you both go into the Word together. That's what I say. But as far as that trust issue, do whatever you have to do quick together to get over that, because it will always try to, the enemy will use that against you and try to get into your mind.
And I would just add into that, when you're talking about building trust, if it's either with the same person or even with a new relationship, you just have to realize that trust is something that is built and developed over a period of time. And so you have to be willing to allow some time to go by so you can begin to see this person in different situations so that you can begin to gain that trust, you know. And so if it's that individual who broke the trust and they have to, and you're looking to reconcile that relationship, they need to, as Ronnie was touching on, be willing to do some different things so that they can demonstrate to you that you can trust me. But then the other thing that I would add in there too is I think about a scripture that comes from Psalms 147:3 that says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And so for you, if there is still a wound in you from from someone breaking their trust or breaking your trust, then you have to go to God and trust that he's going to begin to heal that wound. And as you begin to trust him to not only heal that wound, you have to remember that God is your Father. And so that as you begin to lean on him and say, God, I trust you to order my steps when it comes to that individual, that relationship, then you're leaning on him and putting your confidence in God, and that you know that God is not going to bring somebody across your pathway who is going to harm his daughter. So it's almost like saying, God, I'm wanting to move beyond this, and I'm going to trust you to help me and lead me and order my steps so that I can begin to build healthy, trusting relationships.
Wow, that's good. Some good advice there, Alicia. Eric, do you have anything to add to Tamara?
It'd be along the same lines as Ronnie and Alicia. One thing with me, I mean, we've all been through relationships where we've been hurt, male or female. For me, it was really just saying, God, please remove all this pain, this hurt, because I don't want to go into a relationship with distrust. Because if I feel like I can't trust someone, I'd rather not be in a relationship at all. So that means I need some work done on me. So, Lord, help me to remove this out of me before I even attempt to get involved with someone. Because God's trying to fix something in you and you're bringing someone in on it while he's working on you. It's going to be a mess at the end of the day. So I think sometimes we need to just step back and let God do a work within us and come in whole. You know, come in whole and just say, you know what, I'm trusting you, God. You've healed my heart. I don't have this fear of being, you know, hurt. But, you know, I will use those things like Ronnie said. You know, you're setting up those little things just to make sure that this person is not, you know, trying to deceive you or set you up for failure. But I wouldn't go into anything with my heart, you know, broken. And I know we know if our heart is not right and we're not feeling a certain way. And I think it's just honestly saying, you know what, I'd rather not get in a relationship till God mend some of those things in me.
Well, I like that comment. Hey, guys, we're going to welcome our guest for today. Her name is Lorraine Klein. She's actually a Christian family therapist. I just want to welcome her to the show. Lorraine, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Raz. How are you?
I'm doing great, Lorraine. Thanks for coming on the show. We're kind of talking about how to position yourself to find love God's way. And our focus today is pretty much outlining some clear pathways and some steps that people can take to who may not have been ready in the past but are on their way of being ready. So, Lorraine, I just want to, if you could, like, if you will, give us some information about your background and what are some of the things that you kind of like in your practice do you see today, Christians and non-Christians alike, why are we kind of like failing in love, or why are we not identifying what love truly is?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why, but I'm going to springboard off of what I believe, I think it was Ronnie just said a few minutes ago, or a few seconds ago actually, about looking at your own life, and when he was talking about trust issues and maybe looking at those things. Sometimes I find that a lot of people are going into relationships looking for that perfect person to meet their needs, all of their needs. They have to make a certain amount of money. They have to look a certain way. They have to you know, there's certain criteria to have, which isn't bad in and of itself, but I think the most important thing is to begin by pursuing a relationship with God so that He can be working in your life and in your heart so you can become the healthiest person that He has for you to be, so that you're in a position to attract healthy and to be in relationship with healthy. I just find that a lot of people are not looking to God for needs. They're looking for that person. They aren't set in a place where they have friendships that meet those emotional needs. They are waiting for their life to begin when they meet that person, instead of having a life that they can have to share with somebody.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Lorraine, I'm going to take a call real quick. I want to put you on hold. I want to take a call real quick. We have a caller from the 909 area code. Caller, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Okay, caller, it's from the 909-235. Hello, can we have your question or comment? Hello, call, are you there? Okay, I guess not. All right, guys, I want to ask another question. Lorraine, maybe you can please feel free to join our panel and answer some questions here. Point number four, maintaining your physical appearance. Now, I've been in some pretty heated debates about the area of physical appearance, and I think it's even though we should not focus, that should not be our primary and main focus, but I do believe in being and not being disingenuous. I mean, as men, I believe that I'm attracted to good-looking things, but wisdom tells me obviously to make sure that that it's balanced, and I think it has an important part to play. I look for a person who's clean, who dresses well, someone that represents my wife or my family, I think, to the utmost. Lorraine, I mean, what do you think about that? Is that unreasonable, you think, or?
I don't think it's unreasonable to have a specific type of person you're looking for, even in terms of physical attributes. I think if that's the focus, that there's the tendency to miss out on the heart. Just like I think earlier it was said about looking at a woman looking for a man with money, that she may miss out on a really wonderful godly man who could be the person that God has for her, but she's blinded by looking for the other things. So I think if you have, you know, your focus on the Lord and your focus on looking for those godly attributes that a woman has, because as was said earlier, you know, our physical bodies are going to fade. They just are. And so if we're at that place where we're falling in love with them and love their heart, then when their body fades, it's not going to be an issue. That's not going to be enough glue to hold it together. Do I think there's a problem with that? I think God says He's going to give us the desires of our hearts, and I think He created you with certain desires, and He creates, you know, all of us with different desires of types of people we would like to spend time with or that we find attractive. So I don't think that there's a problem with, you know, feeling like you shouldn't want a certain type of a person or you're excluding a certain type of a person. I just think you need to be very careful about making sure that what your priorities are, and that is to find somebody that loves the Lord. Because, you know, no matter what, when the rubber meets the road, you want that person by your side that loves you, and you know that they love you and that you love them, and that you're going to, you know, you're going to serve God together. And if all the money goes away and the body goes away and you're living in a cardboard someplace, you're still going to love each other and love the Lord. And that's really what you're looking for in life.
Any of you guys like to comment on that?
I agree.
Well, I would.
Go ahead, Alicia.
Oh, okay. I would say I agree with that being obviously the ultimate focus of, yeah, you do want someone who you do, who definitely has the right heart and all of those things. I think added with that as well, kind of going to what you were phrasing about the importance of maintaining your physical appearance, I think that is important when you do think about the fact that you're single and you're looking to meet someone. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting is I was reading the story in Genesis of when Eliezer went to go look for a wife for Isaac. The very first thing that the Bible says about Rebecca is that she was very beautiful. And so here is a woman who is out working and doing what God had called her to do, but at the same time she was mindful of her own appearance. And so I think just even as women and men, if you're single, it is important. Be healthy, just even knowing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Go out looking, you know, appropriate, just because you never know who you may meet. And I think about that myself sometimes being single. If you catch me on a day where I'm running to the grocery store, whoo, you may see a totally different Alicia than what you see on a Sunday morning. So I had to think about the fact that, okay, if I'm going out, I don't want to look like who shot John and why. I want to at least pull myself together, not meaning I need to go out in stilettos, but I need to at least pull myself together so I'm looking appropriate. So maybe someone feels comfortable coming up to approach me. You may, you know, miss out on someone. So I don't think it should be your overriding focus as far as what is the end-all, be-all in a relationship. But if you're talking about being prepared to meet someone, I definitely think it's key for both men and women to be mindful of maintaining their physical appearance. And I think about how sometimes my girlfriends and I may make a comment. There are things that we as women may notice about a man, you know, whether it's his teeth or his fingernails, you know, and sometimes men may not think about those things, but women notice the details. So I think it's important for even men to give, you know, attention to maintaining their physical appearance so that maybe a godly woman or another person looking at them would, you know, obviously see the whole package, but your appearance is the first thing people do see or notice about you. So
I agree with that, and I would even add that once you get married, I think it's important to maintain your physical appearance. I think that is a given, and I totally agree with you.
Okay. Guys, I want to quickly take this call. We have a caller from the 909-246 number here. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
Hi, Alicia. It's Chris. Can you let me know what time you would want to drop them off on Tuesday? Because I leave to go to work at 9.
Okay. I think I'm not sure what happened there, but we're supposed to have a caller there. Okay, guys, I want to go into this next question here. And I'm sorry, did anyone else have a comment about the physical appearance, Ronnie or Eric?
I agree. And as a married man, I'm learning what she added that, yeah, you can't just let yourself go. What about that part? And so I start walking today, I'm about to get on a regimen, you know. But even before I was married, yeah, I think appearance is important. What attracted me to my wife was, you know, just how she always kept herself together, smelling good. You know, unfortunately, we weren't saved before we got married, but it was pleasing to see her. First thing she do when she wake up is she's in the shower. And so, you know, just little things like that, you know, the cleanliness, the, you know, never really raggedy. You know, of course, we have our, like Alicia said, our grocery mornings or, you know, things like that. But you can see that the person cares about themselves. There's a thing where some people might treat you the way you treat yourself. And if they see that you don't take care of yourself, then they won't take care of you. And so it's not the focal point, but it really is the first thing that they see. And people are reading, you know, they are reading you by how you look, unfortunately, you know. You know, they are checking to see, you know, this, that up, you know, and if you get enough minuses, they probably won't even talk to you. And so it does count. It does count. I'm not necessarily saying be a bodybuilder or a swimsuit model. I'm just saying you're clean when they walk by you, you smell good, you know, you care about yourself. Let them see that you care about yourself. And, you know, that does start with your appearance.
Eric.
Oh man, brother, I'm not gonna beat a dead horse. You know, I'm a personal trainer, so you know, being fit and healthy is key to life. To me, it's just a key to life. And being a Christian, me being fit, really has nothing to do with my wife. It's just a benefit for her. So
we're
going to leave it there.
I just want to say for all you females that dissed me because I wasn't 6 foot, I'm just kidding, man. I was playing. Just had to get that out there. But, hey, man, I want to take this call. We have Alicia on the line. Alicia, are you there? Hello,
you
Alicia?
You mean me, Raz? Hello?
No, Alicia.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We have a caller by the name of Alicia on the line. Alicia, are you there? Okay, I guess not. I guess she's not there. All right. Well, I want to go to point number five, making sure you are emotionally whole. Again, making sure you are emotionally whole. And I would translate that to being emotionally available, getting rid of soul ties. Have you been healed from previous relationships? Do you know how to forgive? I think that people are in a state of not being Ronnie, remember we had that conversation about being on the same frequency?
Okay.
I believe that if you're still thinking about your ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, if you are still holding on to baggage, I believe that that automatically disqualifies you from God blessing you with that special somebody, because God cannot bring something into your life if you're still holding on to something else from the past.
Yeah,
what do you think about
that? I think that's right. Like, if you still, let's say you had a relationship with someone and they're setting your standard or they're not even in your life, it's not fair to you. It's not fair to the people that God is putting in your life. You won't even be able to see the blessing before you because you're stuck on something that's not even yours anymore. So this is another reason why the sex before marriage thing, it's not helpful. You feel what I mean? Because when you have sex with somebody, you know, that kind of intimacy doesn't just go away, you know? And so you had a fling, you have the sex, and then you move on to the next person. Now you got somebody trying to love you, but you don't see them because your focus is on, you know, someone else in the past. And so that's why the saving the sex for someone that you're going to be with is beneficial to both of you guys, because when you have sex with this person, you're not comparing it to somebody else. And when you have sex with this person that you're going to be with, you're not, you know, having to fantasize about someone else because you're stuck in time. And so, you want to be emotionally right. And I want to say emotionally right because, you know, emotions can come whether the situation calls for it or not. So I'm saying emotionally right meaning that you're mature enough to know that I'm not gonna say something because my feelings are hurt and just blow the whole night and maybe tear down my partner because, you know, I'm not processing something correctly. And so I want to be wise enough to put my emotions in check and not let them run my mouth because, you know, some people can say some things because of emotion, not necessarily because of the severity of the situation or the facts, but you might just say something because how you felt. And you might spend a couple months trying to take that back, or you could even lose a person. And so, yeah, I would say you want to have your emotions in check and be wise enough to not let them lead you. And you really don't want no emotional tie to a stranger that's not even part of your relationship, because you'll be giving the person that you're with just a shell of you because your heart is somewhere else.
Wow. Lorraine, I have a question for you, Lorraine. Do you find a lot of the people that you counsel and in your therapy sessions, do you come across a lot of emotionally unavailable people or people who have emotional baggage or emotional issues?
Yes. You know, I think all of us have areas that we've had to, you know, had experience healing in. And a lot of times people are looking for relationships, and they don't realize that they themselves are not emotionally available. And a lot of times it's because of their past hurts. Even if they're over a relationship, the impact that relationship had on them is still lingering in their life. So they are they're just basically emotionally unavailable. They're very guarded. They're not open. They don't trust. There's a lot of issues that they're bringing to the relationship, and things that you could trigger that maybe aren't your fault, but nonetheless you trigger because they haven't done the work to go through a healing process. They haven't allowed God to heal those areas, and then they could bring these into the relationship. And all of us can do that. And I think, you know, sometimes we are end up in relationships, even in our unhealthiness, that God can use those relationships to cause us to look at ourselves and see the areas that we need to heal and have healing, and we can seek Him for that healing. Sometimes He allows people in our lives to be an instrument of, I call it like a reparative relationship, where maybe some man was not trustworthy in your past, but He gives you that godly man. And if you're not in a place where you're at least emotionally healthy and able to let that person in, you're missing out on the opportunity for God to show you that through that man, God really does love you and care about you, and that not all men are untrustworthy, and that this man can show you what it is to have a life with somebody that is trustworthy. But I do see a lot of people that, you know, they start out talking about the other person and all the issues with the other person, but they haven't really stopped to take a look at the things that are being triggered in you by a relationship. It could be something that God is allowing to show you something about yourself that you need to work on and work through so that there can be healing and freedom in that area.
Wow, that's awesome, Lorraine. Now, Lorraine, what are some of the steps that someone can take in order to recognize someone? If they're, for example, if I'm a man, I'm interested in a young lady, and what are some of the key indicators that I can look for to other than, of course, relying upon the Holy Spirit, but in the natural, what are the things that I can do to observe to see if this young lady is emotionally ready and has a spiritual maturity to be in love?
Well, you know, I think when you meet somebody, and if you have the benefit of getting to watch them in an environment where you can see if they're open and they're comfortable and they have a relationship with the Lord that's open, you can tell if they're not guarded, if they're approachable. You know, the characteristics that the Lord describes in Corinthians about love is to watch and see those things. Those are good things. That person's open. They're able to have some self-awareness. They're working on themselves. They have friendships and relationships. If you meet somebody that is kind of shut off or is kind of very guarded or very clingy or controlling or wants to call you all the time and have you account for every move you're making, you know, there's just some unhealthy things that will be triggers for you that you need to be able to recognize and say, you know what, this person is looking too much to me, and they have some things they need to be looking to the Lord for, not me. So I think there's several different things you can be looking for.
Okay. Does anyone have a comment about that?
No, I agree. You nailed it, because you will be able to tell. You know, there was one thing I used to notice. I didn't know what it was about, but when I was, you know, single and not saved, there was a lot of girls that I would meet. Like, we call it, like, we're talking, you know, and you're spending the time getting to know them. And like Eric said, you really see if you can put them in a position to manipulate them. But in that little trial period, I would always hear, my last boyfriend, and it's only right now in this conversation I'm realizing this person was still emotionally not available because of my last boyfriend and the last boyfriend, and they were still stuck on the past first. And so you can see it. You will be able to tell. And I just hope that if, whether it be a male or female, if you notice that the person who's courting you, or you know, that you're getting to know, if you see that they have this attachment to past relationships, that you bring it to their attention in a loving way so that they could be free, because it's a bond that they've created, and they're tied to it, and it needs to be cut. So that's about it.
That's a good comment, Ronnie.
You know, we have a few minutes left of the show, guys. And Lorraine, real quick, if people want to get hold of you for you know, a counseling session of therapy, how would they be able to get in touch with you?
They can call me. My number is 714-225-8489. And I really, my heart's desire is to just see people healthy and free from the things that hold them back from being all that God wants them to be, and to be able to be in healthy relationships and to pursue healthy relationships.
That's great, guys. And Lorraine, do you have an email address where they can also contact you via email?
Yes, they can email me at lklein, K-L-E-I-N, at Fullerton, F-U-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, .edu.
Okay, guys, you heard that. And guys, seriously, if you really are really trying hard to be in a position where you are more emotionally healthy so that you can be positioned and be prepared to have the love that God wants you to have, I would definitely, Lorraine, someone that she is a spirit-filled believer, and she's definitely somebody who can help facilitate the healing process and help identify key indicators to help you be in the right place. And I've used her personally, and so I can definitely attest to that, that she's definitely the real deal when it comes to Christian-based counseling. Guys, it's been a great show. I think we need to leave it right there. We didn't really get to cover all the topics that we wanted. We got like at least, we have about four or five more topics, to be honest with you, that we haven't really had time to cover. But we'll probably get to it at another show, guys. What do you think about the show, guys?
I think it was great. And I'd just like to encourage everybody to check out Ephesians 6:12 because most of the frustrations that we're dealing with and either finding a mate or our day-to-day lives, it's not necessarily taking place in the natural. There's a lot of things going on in the unseen world that we need to exercise authority over. So I just encourage people to check out Ephesians 6, read the whole thing, read the whole Ephesians 6, and you'll see what the true thing that's coming against you is when you get to 6:12. But I believe the show was very helpful to me. I think it was a blessing.
Brother Eric?
Brother, this was awesome. I've truly enjoyed. I've learned so much myself with just all the comments. And I would just leave the people with this as well that are listening. If you really want to know what true love is, I'll ask you to just read 1 Corinthians 13. Starting at verse 4, and just meditate on it after you read it and really soak in what you're reading and listen to what it's saying. And then when you're able to say to yourself, I can love this way, you'll know what true love is. Just meditate on that. Just, you know, let it soak in and see what true love looks like.
Amen to that,
and
man.
I think you'll be good.
That's awesome, man. Alicia, we got a few quick seconds, and what's your last comments?
Well, once again, going along with what has already been stated, I think tonight's topic was an excellent one, and hopefully everyone listening was able to take away something and maybe begin to see different areas of their own life where they can begin to apply what they've heard so that they can get ready for that next step. I think that's one of the big key things is that we can sometimes know the right thing to do, but until we start doing and putting into action those things, we're never going to get from where we are to that next level. So hopefully in the process of tonight, everyone has heard something that they can walk away with and begin to apply to their life and hopefully be ready for that person that God ultimately has for them. So thanks for having me. I've enjoyed being on.
That's awesome, guys. With that said, please tune in to the same time next week for the show. Every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Can We Talk? Guys, thanks again, and we'll see you all next week. I'm your host, Raz Williams, and I just want to say that God bless you all. Have a great Easter weekend. Don't eat too much food, and that's my comment. Peace out.
And so it begins. Who would have ever thought that this day was bright? I got a deal writing rhymes just to stay for fright. Mother speaking wisdom to my heirs, giving great advice. At times I write only just to see my status like rhyme. With so much folly up in my trolley, can God use someone like me? And I keep asking the same question, see my brow stay sweating, but the spirit gives rest indeed. It's not about you, young Essie says. I decrease the increase in my sentences. I need Jesus' deep thesis that it's heaven sent. Please believe it is him that I'm resting in. Links I get my strength from the bread of life, so I feast on and drink water from his well. Should I keep going? See sipping, see spitting, I'm in deep thought. This ordeal made me feel I should cease flawing. Can you see the fears up in my eyes, homie? I still muse upon the words that Shy told me about the woman that I care for. Time show me, awaken love before time, and you sigh only. But I only rise up in my mind, rest in God's great love, memorize what has been tried and tested. I'm the reason my impressions were depressive, but I am never the one to take an antidepressant, but simply suppress it. What you people impressed with me, I am nothing but see the greatest message that I speak is.
Brother Ronnie.
Yep.
Hey, man, what do you think about the show, bro?
It was good. Oh, we're off?
Yeah, we're off.
Okay, well, right on.
Yeah, we're off, man.
It was cool. I think it was cool. Everybody was on point.
Did I do better this week, man? Was I flowing much better this week?
Yeah, it was good. You know what I like? That even though the calls didn't come through, we just moved to the next topic. Everything was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. I mean, we just got to figure out what was up with the calls, because it was good to have that many calls.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls, but the 510 area code, they didn't want to answer. I guess they didn't want to speak. They just wanted to listen in. And one of the chicks, she said, "Oh no, I'm too embarrassed," so she won't listen in. So I guess that's what happened.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That was on them. Man, we did all we could do. You know, hey, figure it out. But so people are listening in.
Exactly. People a lot. We had about 10 calls today, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
This thing's gonna grow fast, dude.
We gotta push it. I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. Yeah, I think today was real useful. The lady was good. The brother Eric was nice and strong. Alicia was strong as usual. You know, and you good mediator, good commenting, good topic, bringing everything up. I think it's clean like this. We're gonna get into the rhythm to where it's just gonna be nothing. But I couldn't tell this was the second video. I like it. That's
I agree, dude.
You know what? You know when the music starts in the beginning, can you talk over that?
I can, yeah.